It's those pictures every year. There's a lump sort of comes up in your throat when you realize that those kids are just growing up. It's lickety-split overnight. You turn around and they're grown. And I want to say to our graduating seniors this year that we are so proud of you and we appreciate you. And I will tell you what I've told every graduating class since I've been here these 23 years. You've got a home church that loves you, and they will keep praying for you, and their desire is for you to be in the center of God's will and to stay there. No matter where you go or what you become, find God's will for your life and live it out. I want to ask our graduates to come up here on the platform this morning, and we'll present their Bibles to them. When I call your name, just come on up. Macy, you can come on. Bless your heart, huh? Just stand right up here for just a moment, okay?
Macy's planning on going to UTM and is going to be a dietitian.
Carly Whipple. Congratulations. Just think right away by Macy.
Carly also is planning on going to UTM and majoring in animal science.
Drew Worley. Congratulations, Drew. Stand right over here.
Drew will be going to Lindsey Wilson College with a double major in psychophysiology and religion.
Amen. Austin Williams is not here today, but we've got a Bible we're going to make sure that he gets, and we want you to be sure and pray for Austin. Got anything on Austin?
Oh, Austin, he will be going to Paducah Tech and then for 2 years, and then he'll be transferring to UTM, majoring in agriculture.
All right. I want to ask you to join our hearts together as we pray for these young ladies and gentlemen and pray that God will just hover over them wherever they go in life, whatever they encounter, whatever they run up on in life. I want to know that they've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that when we're born, you promise you've got a plan for our life. I pray for each one of these young people today that they will seek your will first in their life. No matter where they go, no matter who they marry, no matter how many children they have, I pray that they'll always keep you first in their lives. Lord, I thank you for each one of them, for the sweet and precious memories we have of them growing up. I lift them up to you today and pray that in the days ahead, they will learn to listen to your spirit and do the sometimes hard thing. Make the right choice. Choices have consequences. And Lord, help them to realize instead of just going with the flow and doing what everybody else is doing, I pray that they'll seek your guidance and they'll make the right choice. Lord, I thank you that you've promised us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I pray that that sweet Holy Spirit will just go with them, follow them, encourage them, convict them when they need convicting, and comfort them when they need comforting. But Lord, may they learn to rely on His leadership. I pray that for their lives. I pray for the very best. And I know that God's will is the very best. So I pray for your will to be done in their lives. Thank you for their parents, their grandparents. Thank you for their church family. Thank you for the people that have had input in their lives up to this point. And Lord, I pray that they will never forget where they come from. I pray that they'll never forget who they are. But more importantly, I pray that they'll never forget whose they are. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. Would you give them a round of applause? You go sit down. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. third chapter of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, I believe, was so concerned for his son in the ministry. He wrote Timothy two separate letters about important things, sound doctrine, how to live in the last days, things that he knew were going to be vital to his success. And I hope you know this already. Most of us who are a little bit older have got, I hope we figured this out. But you never stop learning. I don't care how old you are. You may graduate from kindergarten, you may graduate from junior high, you may graduate from high school or even college, but I hope you realize you really never stop learning. And there are two kinds of courses in life, and I'm going to talk to you about them this morning, but I want you to listen to these words that Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Notice particularly what he said in verse 14. He wanted Timothy to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Don't ever stop learning. Continue. Keep on learning from the things that you've learned from the past. Learn about things in the future. There are a lot of things that you haven't learned yet. Dr. W.A. Criswell shared the story of his small grandson. He'd come to visit with him one year when he was pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, was there over 50 years. They had a parsonage downtown in the city when Dr. Criswell went there. And his little grandson came. He was about maybe 4 years old. He came running in the house one day and said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, there's a rabbit in the backyard." Now, Dr. Criswell didn't want to dispute his grandson, but he'd been there for some time. He'd never seen a rabbit. Not downtown where they lived. So he said, "Well, let's go look at it." So they went out into the backyard, and to much to his amazement, evidently one of his neighbors had seen a rat and got a hoe after it and had injured it, and the rat had crawled in his yard and died. It was not a rabbit. So he sat down and used that occasion to teach his grandson the difference between a rat and a rabbit. And he said, "That might seem trivial to you," but he said, "it's important for little boys to grow up knowing the difference between a rat and a rabbit." And he said then a few years later, said he was in his study, said he was looking in his library, some books on the wall one day, and his grandson was about 8 years old, and said he burst into his library, and he said, "Granddaddy, Granddaddy," he said, "I've found out what girls are for." And he said, "Well," I quit looking at books and turned around and looked at my grandson, and he said, "I sat down and motioned for him to come and sit on my knee," and he did. And he said, with a fascinating interest, he said, "I asked my grandson, what do you think girls are for?" He said, "They're to teach things to." He said, "I'm teaching little Sally," called his girlfriend's name, "I'm teaching her how to play ball. I'm teaching her how to catch a fly. I'm teaching her how to run the bases. I'm teaching her how to catch a ground ball. They're to teach things to." And he said, "I thought then, poor kid. He doesn't have it figured out yet. She's leading him right along, letting him think she's teaching him something." And he said the whole point of that was that we go through stages in our life, but we're constantly learning. It may be about trivial things. It may be about spiritual things. He said, "I'm thankful that there was a day when I got to teach my grandson about Jesus. and he came to know him as his personal Savior. But we learn those big things about life from people that are important to us. Could be our parents, could be our grandparents. You go to school for 12 years or 13, some longer. But you learn from teachers. Now, some of your most unfavorite teachers, you probably thought you didn't learn much from, but you did. In fact, when I was in high school, my most unfavorite teacher taught me one of the greatest lessons I'd probably ever have to learn. There's a lot of things we don't like to learn in life. And we try not to learn them, but we end up learning them anyway. But you're always learning. You never stop learning. Don't ever forget that. I remember when I graduated from high school, I was so full of myself, I knew I had it all figured out. I was at that stage that teenagers reach when no adult's going to be able to tell them anything because they already know it all. Aren't you glad you grow out of that eventually? There was a college graduation taking place, and that year they had been able to get in contact with one of the most sought-after commencement speakers in all the country. He had agreed to come to speak at their commencement exercise. And they were going to come across and get their diplomas and then go sit back down, and this famous speaker was supposed to get up and bring the commencement speech to the class. One by one, the young people would walk across the platform and receive their degree, and each one of them, as they got ready to step off the platform, they would hold it up high and they would say, "I got my AB." The next one would come across and hold his up and say, "I got my BS." Even one of them came across and said, "I got a PhD." And after every one of them had announced what they'd received and sat down and ready for this big, high-powered speaker to get up, this is what he said when he walked to the podium. He said, "You are about to enter into the real world where you will learn the rest of your alphabet." And he sat down. You see, it doesn't matter what you learned yesterday or what you learned today. If you live till tomorrow, you will still be learning. And some of the most beneficial and greatest lessons that you're ever going to learn in life are going to come from the school of hard knocks. After you've gotten out in the real world, and after you've learned that you got to crawl out of bed every day if you want to hold that job down, and you've learned how to deal with people that aren't always easy to deal with, and as you go through life, you're going to constantly run up on situations and circumstances that you never were told about in that classroom. But you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. I hope that you'll remember this. God had a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. God said, "I know the plans that I have for you." Don't you ever forget, God's got a plan. Even when you don't know what the plan is, or it looks like the plan may have folded up on you or collapsed, just remember this, God's got a plan. You say, "Preacher, I messed my plan up. I made some bad choices. I've made some bad mistakes." Well, God's still got a plan. I can show you character after character in the Bible who it looked like they had messed up God's plans, but God still had a plan. Find out what that plan is and then live it for God's glory. There are two kinds of courses in your life that you will never, ever stop learning from. The first one is this. There are required courses. Some courses are required. Number one is the course of life. In that course, you didn't have any choice. You didn't get to choose whether or not you were going to be born. You didn't even get to choose who your parents were going to be. You didn't get to choose a lot of things. You didn't get to choose where or when or who your parents were. You weren't given any options. God chose to give you life. And He puts you in this world. Your existence is proof that God wanted you to be alive. Don't you ever forget that. That's important. Did you know there are a lot of people walking around today who have never learned that essential lesson of life? The reason I exist is because God wanted me to exist. God brought me into this world. That's why He told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." God knew you. He had all of those things planned out before you were even aware that they were going on. God had a plan for your life. Part of that required course in life is life itself. The second part of that required course is death. If you were born, you're going to die. Unless Jesus comes back first, we're all going to die. The Bible says in Adam, all die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, I know that's something most teenagers, and especially most graduates just getting out of high school, that's not even on their agenda. That's so far down the road, they live like they're going to live forever. But the truth is, none of us know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. Could be a car wreck. Could be a plane crash. Could be an aneurysm. It could be a blood clot hit your heart. It could be cancer. It could be on any number of things. But the Bible says one thing is for sure. Everybody in this room, unless Jesus comes back to get His redeemed, you are going to die. That's just one of those required courses. If you're part of the human race, you're going to die because everybody in Adam dies. Here's the third thing about that required course. Judgment. You're going to be judged for the life you've lived. That's something most teenagers don't like to think about either. There was a song when I was a teenager, "Don't Worry About Tomorrow, Just Live for Today." And that was, for the most part, my generation, that was their philosophy. Don't worry about tomorrow, just live for today. And that philosophy has blossomed now until it's almost universal. Kids don't even really think about it, that's just the way they live. Don't worry about down the road. Don't worry about next week or next month or next year or 10 years down the road. All you've got to worry about is right now, today. And that's where you make a big mistake. Because the Bible says when it comes to judgment, even for Christians, there will be a judgment seat of Christ for every believer. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for every one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That we would be judged for the things we've done in our body, whether they were good or bad. There's a judgment. When you were in school, you had to take tests. That was a judgment on whether or not you had learned what you were supposedly taught. And you either passed or you failed. But one of these days, the greatest test of all will be when you stand before Jesus Christ and He asks you what you've done with your life as a Christian. You see, lost people won't be there at that judgment seat. Only believers. I know there's a mistaken belief going around today that once you get saved and once you accept Jesus, what you do with the rest of your life is your business. That's a lie out of hell. Everything you do, everything is going to be judged. Even the Bible says the idle words that we speak, we're going to give an account of. That's some serious stuff. Your influence on others, you're going to be judged for. You're either helping people come to know Jesus or you're leading people away from the Lord. You're going to be judged for that. I take issue with a lot of people today who are raising their kids making statements like this to them. You can be whatever you want to be in life. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Have you ever told your kid that? You can do anything you want to do. Be whatever you want to be in life. The only problem with it, that is humanistic thinking. It's not your life to live any way you want to. It's not your life to make those choices. Your purpose, your place in life as a child of God is to seek God's will and be whatever God wants you to be. That's the only way you'll ever be a success. That's the only way you will ever feel fulfilled in life is to know God's will for your life and then do it. I understand encouraging young people and trying to bring out their best and trying to build them up and encourage them. I'm all for that. But when they hear over and over and over all their life, you can be anything you want to be whatever you want to be, that's the wrong lesson to teach them. You need to teach them that God's got a plan for their life. They need to seek that out, find out what it is, and by the grace of God, He'll help them to do it. Anything other than that, anything less than that, and they're going to always have an emptiness on the inside. There's going to be a void in their life that will never, ever be filled until they find God's will for their life. There's going to be a judgment seat for Christians, but there's going to be a judgment for lost people. The great white throne, Revelation chapter 20. You may have your name listed in the who's who for a lot of important things. But if your name is not listed in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation chapter 20 says God's going to pick you up by His strong right arm and He's going to C-A-S-T. He's going to cast you into the lake of fire. That truth, all by itself, ought to motivate us as adults and parents to do everything we can to make sure that our kids come to know Jesus at an early age. Because it's one of those required courses. There's going to be a judgment. One for the Christians and one for people who've never accepted Jesus Christ. You better make sure that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Those are the required courses. No getting around them. I don't care who you are. I don't care whether you've got money or don't have money. I don't care what kind of a vehicle you drive or what kind of house you end up living in. I'm here to tell you those are some required courses that you ain't going to get to bypass. You don't get to opt out. You're a part of life, and those are required courses. Now, let me tell you the second part. There are some elective courses in the school of life. Y'all know what electives are? You know, if you major, some of you graduates, you were told you need to find out what you want to major in when you go to school. And you know one of the fascinating things right now about all these kids we've got graduating from college? Some of them are graduating with degrees and they still don't know what they want to be. They're not sure. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they want to major in. And some of them made professional careers out of just going to school. But there are some elective courses. You know, when you major in a subject, are required courses that to get that degree in that subject, you have to take those courses. There's no opting out of them. But then they give you all these other elective courses that you can take that are supposed to bolster and benefit you and help you in life, you know, and you get to choose those. Well, here are some elective courses in life that you get a choice at. You didn't have a choice who your parents were. You didn't have a choice before you were born, what color your skin was going to be. You didn't have a choice where you would be born or any of that. None of that. You weren't given the options. But all of these, you were given options. The first one is this. Whether or not to be saved or lost. It's your choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You get a choice. where you're going to spend eternity, whether or not Jesus Christ is going to be your Lord and Savior, you get to choose whether or not to accept Him or reject Him. That's an elective. I challenge you, every person in this room, I don't care what your age is, I don't care how many degrees you've got or what kind of job you hold down, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a loser. Because you're lost already. Lost. Do you understand that's the saddest word you'll ever hear is lost? It's sad when a person loses their health. It is sad if a person loses their life savings, their fortune. It is sad if a person's house burns down. But I want to tell you the worst, the saddest thing you'll ever hear about any individual is that that person is lost without Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you can choose. Jesus gives you the option of whether you want to receive Him or reject Him. And you get a choice in that. Here's the second elective. You can either choose to be spiritual or carnal after you get saved. Now, it's all important to receive Jesus as your Savior, okay? But a lot of people, when they come to this part, they use their humanistic thinking and they start saying things like this. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. I've let Jesus forgive me and come into my heart. So it really doesn't matter how I live. That's where the majority of our culture is at right now. And the reason we're in the mess we're in this country, is because we've got people who have made professions of faith, but according to their lifestyle, they have chosen to be carnal rather than spiritual. We are so much like the church at Corinth. When you start studying in the Bible, that church at Corinth, every ungodly thing you can imagine was going on in the lives of the believers in that church at Corinth. One young man was sleeping with his stepmother. They were coming to church and getting drunk. They were suing each other. The body of Christ, believers, would get mad and ticked at one another, and they, for absolutely almost no reason at all, they just go to law, go to the court and sue one another. They couldn't get along. Every ungodly practice you can imagine that's going on in our culture right now is going on in the church at Corinth. And Paul said, you're not spiritual, you're carnal. Here's why that is so sad. When you are refusing to be spiritual and choose to be carnal, you are shutting off the power of God in your life. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You may be saved, you may be a Christian. But if you've willful, knowing, unconfessed sin in your life, God's not going to listen to you when you pray, until you pray that repentant prayer and say, God, I've sinned and I'm sorry, please forgive me. Then He'll start listening to you again. You can go to church every week, every time the doors are open, but if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're playing silly games. You're playing church. That's what carnal people do. That's why during the week, they can talk like the world, cuss just like them, dance like the world, do everything they do, go here and there, do everything the world does. But next Sunday, they'll trot right back to God's house with their nose up in the air, acting like they're doing God a favor, and they're carnal. And what that has done, it has quenched the Spirit, the power of the Spirit in our churches today in America. The church is so anemic, we are so weak spiritually, it is scary. That's an elective. You can choose to be spiritual or you can choose to be carnal. Here's the third thing in that elective, those elective courses. You can be scriptural or you can be logical. And it's real closely tied to number two, being spiritual or carnal. You can either get in this book and find out what God thinks about something, or you can listen to the world and you say, you know what, that sounds pretty good. the problem is, Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. In every area of your life, it will benefit you, it will profit you to find out what God thinks about issues. You want to be scriptural or you want to be logical? Let me give you a modern day example. Right now our culture is being told, well, God loves all of us. God loves homosexuals too. That is true. He does. But He doesn't condone their lifestyle. He says, repent or perish. And if you love somebody enough to tell them the truth, you have to tell them that God's not pleased with their sin and that God's going to hold them accountable and they must repent. Amen. Our culture says, oh, well, God's a God of love. He just loves everybody the same. We ought to just be able to accept people for who they are. Listen, Paul said, you love them enough to tell them the truth about sin. Until they understand how horrible sin is and the damage and the devastation it does in a person's life, and to help them to come to grips with the fact that if they will repent, God will forgive them of all sin. Tell them the whole truth. You can be scriptural or logical. If you buy into the humanistic thinking that's being purported today, you'll think like the world thinks about issues, and you'll say, well, you know, this is what I think. Well, and I've had people tell me, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I think. Bottom line is, God doesn't give a rip what you think. He wants you to agree with Him. God doesn't have to agree with us. He wants us to learn to agree with Him. Those are electives. Here's the last one. I'm about done. You can be either in God's will or you can choose to get out of God's will. It's your choice. Remember a while ago I told you to find out what God's will for your life is? God has created every one of us with a certain bent. That there are things that appeal to us and things that we're interested in that maybe somebody else isn't. Every one of us have those things in our life that we're drawn to. I mean, like a magnet and metal. It's just things that are drawn. And every one of us are turned different. Some people enjoy doing one thing, other people enjoy doing something else. God wired you that way. When He created you, He gave you those desires toward those certain things. And as long as there's nothing ungodly about it, listen, when God wires you that way and you feel pulled and drawn to a certain area, that may be God telling you that's what I've called you to do. He doesn't call everybody to go to college. Some kids can't handle college. They'd be better off not even going. If they're going to wind up in a college dorm, frying their brain on drugs, getting out in the world and learning the ungodly things of the world, they'd be better home learning how to dig a ditch than they would going to college. One of the young people I graduated with in 1972 from high school had so much potential, it was scary. I don't think he ever took a book home his senior year. I didn't either, but for different reasons. He made straight A's. I didn't. He could sit in a classroom. He could read in school during study hall when the rest of us were shooting spit wads and playing silly games. He was reading the lesson for tomorrow in his book. And he'd leave his books in his locker and go home that night. And he just remembered it. He had the ability to. He could remember. Almost a photographic mind. It was amazing. He went to college. Got a degree. After he got out of college, he started making lots of money. The more money he made, the more money he wanted. And he was so driven. And he gave himself such high expectations. He expected more of himself than anybody else did. It just drove him and drove him and drove him until finally he got so distraught with himself because he never could quite measure up. In everybody's eyes, he would have looked like he was a success. But in his own eyes, there was still something else just out there out of reach. And he felt like a failure because he couldn't have it. And he turned to alcohol. And then he started smoking pot. And that didn't satisfy him until finally he started taking heroin. And he got to mixing alcohol and drugs. And you know how sin is. It starts off just a little. It won't hurt you. Just one time. Every alcoholic got started with one drink. Every dope addict started with one pop and one pill or just shooting that first needle. They never dreamed they would wind up in a gutter somewhere. That young boy that was such a success I was talking about a while ago drowned on his own vomit. Had money in the bank. Had people looking up to him. The world was just waiting for his next great big success. And it was all for nothing. Drowned on his own vomit. Be sure your sins will find you out. You need to be in the center of God's will and be... Listen, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. In a world with so much pressure on it to be like everybody else and to be famous and be rich and be this or be that, just to be happy with who you are, where you're at, with what you've got, is one of the greatest accomplishments in life. Doesn't get any better than that. You may live in a cracker box. You may live in a little hut. Some people can't understand why people living here in America would sell everything they've got, go to Africa as a missionary, and live in a grass hut. No running water, no commode in the house. Live like pagans, living with the pagans, and yet they're some of the most peaceful, precious people on this planet because they know they're right smack dab in the center of God's will. They're in the palm of His hand doing what God's called them to do. And you tell me that they're not successful. Winning pagans to Jesus, that's all that matters. When are we going to learn that lesson? All that matters is being in God's will. And I want to ask you this morning, regardless of your age, if I were to come around, go up and down every pew and just ask you one at a time, are you in God's will today? Probably some people might say, I'm not sure. Yeah, you are. It's kind of like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no halfway. There's no in between. You either know you're in God's will or you know you're out of God's will. That's why we have invitations. So you can get in God's will. Let's stand.